A little bit later in the program, Ben Franklin's 300th birthday. But first, a look at two space projects. One completing a round trip, and the other, it's off on a one-way ticket. In 1999, NASA launched a mission to collect and bring back samples from a comet. In 2004, the probe called Stardust swung by a comet called Vilt 2. It stuck out sort of a big catcher's mitt. I think it looks more like a tennis racket. And hopefully it picked up some of the particles thrown off by the comet. Well, this weekend, that mission comes home. A capsule that contains, where we're hoping, these particles is scheduled to land via parachute in Utah early in the wee hours of Sunday morning. Joining me now to talk about the project is Don Brownlee. He's a professor in the Department of Astronomy, University of Washington in Seattle, and project principal investigator for the Stardust mission. He joined us by phone. Welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon.
You must be a little bit excited by now.
Oh, we're very excited. We're just a little over a day away.
Can you actually be in touch with the probe and know it's healthy and working?
Oh, yeah. We have a bevy of people here in Utah and at Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena and at Lockheed Martin in Denver. They're flying the spacecraft, and we have control over it until 4 hours before touchdown. That's when we actually release the capsule that has the samples, and then it's on its own.
Well, you must be holding your breath just a little bit, considering what happened to the Genesis capsule that crashed to the Earth a couple of years ago.
Well, not really. We because of the Genesis event with a parachute out coming out, we have undergone a series of quite intensive reviews, and the source of that problem with parachute is well understood, and we don't have the problem. It basically uses G-switches like you use to blow out the airbags in your car, and they were put in backwards. We know ours were put in correctly because we fully tested them on accelerometers and centrifuges before launch.
Do you know that the comet actually has captured particles, or do you open it up and take a look and see what's in there?
No, 2 years ago, we flew past this comet, and we were pounded by particles. We actually had impact sensors on board, and the spacecraft is being hit by rocks up to almost half a centimeter, almost the size of between a raisin and a grape in size that
Wow.
were pounding on the spacecraft. I don't know if you look at the pictures from the Deep Impact a spacecraft hit its comet on the 4th of July. You can see the pictures wobbling from picture to picture because of impact of raisin and larger size rocks on it at extremely high speed.
So the
comet is a dangerous thing to do.
and it's being caught in a tennis racket sort of made out of aerogel, this really wispy, smoky sort of solid, right?
Yeah, it's an amazing material. The collector basically looks like a tennis racket filled with ice cubes. I mean, so this is kind of like a big ice cube tray. And each ice cube is not made out of ice, but it's made out of this aerogel. It's a silica aerogel. It's a glass, but it has about the same density as air. We actually got a Guinness Book of World Records for developing this lightest solid material in the world. And the particles hit this at high speed and embed in it. It's actually very similar to, like, the police when they want to recover a bullet from a rifle. And they take it and they shoot it in a box full of cotton. That's basically what we're doing, except we're using aerogel.
Why was Vilt 2 chosen from all the comets that are out there?
Well, we chose Comet Vilt 2, first of all, because it had an orbit that we could get to in our sort of seven-year mission and collect a sample at relatively low encounter speed and then come back to Earth. But also, this comet is very unusual, and it was only captured in its present orbit in 1974. It did a very close encounter with Jupiter in 1974, similar to the comet that crashed into Jupiter, that dramatically changed its orbit to an orbit that now goes through orbit of Mars, the orbit of Jupiter. Before that, it was in an orbit that went from the orbit of Jupiter out past the planet Uranus. But most of the history of the solar system, and this is why the comet is so important, most of the history of this comet was spent out beyond Neptune, out where Pluto is, at the very edge of the solar system, what we call the Kuiper Belt.
Mm-hmm. And so then it still has a lot of its original material on it, because it hasn't gone around the sun a lot and getting blown off by the solar.
Yeah, the real importance of comets like this is that originally when the solar system, you know, the sun and planets were forming, there was a disk of dust and gas spinning. And originally this disk was filled full of objects like comets. But then most of these bodies either went into forming planets, or they went into the sun, or they were thrown back out in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And there's only a few places, like out where Pluto is, where these bodies have survived. And they're relatively small bodies, and many of them are extremely well preserved. In fact, they have ice, it means they've never been heated to the high temperatures. So when one comes in here, I mean, the big effort on this was having the comet come in to meet us. We went halfway to Jupiter to meet it. But the samples we collected from it, we believe to be exactly the same materials that went into forming the comets in the solar system 4.5 billion years ago. So it's a fantastic thing. We have basically the building blocks of the solar system preserved in this sort of cosmic library, if you will, for the entire age of the solar system, and preserved at very low temperatures.
So when it comes back, do you literally have to pick the pieces of it, like with a tweezer, out of the aerogel?
They're much smaller than pick up with tweezers, mostly. They're extremely small, but we have lots of very, very fancy techniques to deal with them. Actually, we do this all the time, and many of these samples we study literally at the atomic single atom level.
Is it true? I saw on a website that you're actually going to put up pictures, up to a million and a half pictures of the comet, so that of the aerogel, so that people can try to pick out the pieces themselves.
Yeah, we the mission is called Stardust for actually two interesting reasons. On the main side, the front side of our ice cube tray, if you will, we exposed that to when we flew past the comet. So we collected comet dust. But a major constituent of comets, we believe, are stardust, interstellar grains, particles that formed around other stars and were the original seed that started the formation of the solar system. So when we collect comet dust, we're actually collecting some stardust that was, you know, 4.5 billion years old and was here when the solar system formed. As we orbited the sun, we exposed the backside of the collector to stardust, interstellar grains that are actually coming in to our solar system at the present time. Right now, there's a flux of stuff from other stars, from our galaxy, that's flying into the solar system. So we collected those. Although those are smaller, and they're much fewer, and much more of a challenge to find and analyze than the much larger comet particles. Some of the comet particles will be up to almost millimeter size. Yeah. But the current interstellar particles that recently fell in are small and hard to find. So people at Berkeley, did the SETI at Home project, came up with this very clever thing. This is run by Andrew Westfold, University of California, Berkeley, called Stardust at Home, where people can download pictures from these what we call the interstellar tray, interstellar side, and search for impacts of interstellar dust. And last I heard yesterday, 17,000 people have signed up to do this in just about a couple of days on the web.
Wow. Wow. Well, we'll be keeping our fingers crossed from you late Saturday night, early Sunday morning out there in the desert. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. We're talking with Don Brownlee, who is the Department of Astronomy, University of Washington in Seattle, and the project principal investigator for NASA's Stardust mission.